bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Mac is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting solutions.
Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network that deals with Macintosh. It's been a big week. We've got a new iPad coming. It's the iPad. The iPad. Not HD, not 3. The. And we've got an Apple TV at 1080p. And we've got a bit of boring Tim on stage, Mr. Disengaged Presenter with Fat Phil. And Eddie, I can blow down my microphone cue even though it's on my chest. Don't breathe out your nose, dude. There's the key.
Are you saying that Apple are lacking the sort of the killer keynote presentation?
They've got the. I've watched the keynote. Now, last night I got a kicking because I said that the keynote I thought was pretty crap because Apple clearly lack a decent presenter. The only person that can present is the one that looks like the baby killer out of Chitty Titty Bang Bang, Chris Forstall. Now he's a decent enough presenter, but you just don't trust him. The rest of them, God, blimey. And I've watched it today. Said, no, you haven't watched the keynote. You've got to watch the keynote, and then you'll see differently. I watched the keynote today, reinforced everything I believed.
What about Randy Ubilios?
I try and avoid that because it chokes. Who the hell are you talking about? Randy who?
Randy Ubilios. The photo guy.
The photo guy.
He's the senior engineer for photo and video.
I may have argued with the wife during that bit then. Because I wasn't in here, I didn't see it. Never mind. Joining me, top left, Mr. Don McAllister of Screencasts Online. How's it doing, mate?
Good afternoon, Ewan. Yeah, it's going well. It's going well. Another Friday afternoon. These are coming around very, very quickly these days.
I know. I can't wait for Friday. I just live for Friday.
It's not the way to be.
I live for Bagel Friday. Work is a means to get to Friday to play around.
Oh, I thought you meant for the weekend. No, you're waiting. No. It's Friday for Bagel. Ah, right.
Play around with the weekend with you boys and shoot the breeze. That's it. That's all I live for.
Cool.
Chris Forsman from Chicago with unseasonably favourable weather. He says.
Yeah.
So
nice.
What temperatures are we talking, dude?
Well, the other day it was I think it was almost up to 70 degrees.
Which you got to say for early March is pretty good. Not bad at all. In the windy city.
Yeah.
We've been pretty good here actually as well. I mean, we're talking 17 degrees at the minute here Celsius, so that's reasonably warm in Fahrenheit. I don't know what it is. Beneath him, DHM coming from the garden shed.
Yeah.
With the coffee wife. Sorry, your coffee, Mrs. Stevenson.
That's all right. It's more inconvenient for her.
No, exactly. It was sympathy. I wasn't taking the mic.
Yeah, it won't go away. It's very annoying.
Good week for you, mate.
Busy, yes, busy.
You've been busy since you started doing this podcast. Have you noticed?
I know.
Huh?
Yes,
the power of Bagel.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's certainly worthwhile in that respect. But it's good to have a Friday afternoon off occasionally and sit down in front of the Mac.
Good man. And finally, Mr. Chest Infection himself.
Yep.
Gazmaz, how's it going, man?
Well, apart from the chest infection, which is slowly going, so I may have to mute myself and take a cough drop occasionally. But yes, the mask is back.
Good man. Welcome. The week in Apple. iPad. There you go. Just did it. Apple TV as well at 1080p. There was a big event on Wednesday night. We had a big load of fun at the Wood Marylebone pub, drinking beer and shooting the breeze afterwards. And here's the professional opinion on the day, starting with you lot. What did we think overall?
Awesome.
Two thumbs up, I think.
Two thumbs up. Have they got the keynote vibe back?
Now, that's a hard one, isn't it?
Don. Go on, Don. Be honest.
No, have they got the vibe back? I mean, it was entertaining. I don't know. I do think Tim Cook's coming on leaps and bounds, though. I think he is sort of, each time I see him, he's getting a bit better. There were lots of, I don't know if it's deliberate, but there are lots of Steve sort of mannerisms coming out, I think, which, again, I don't know if it's deliberate or it's just, you know, the it's something they've picked up with watching Steve for so long. But I think he did a pretty damn good job. Imagine the pressure the guy's under to actually get in front of the world stage, the first big presentation after Steve Jobs. If we ignore the iPhone one, you know, this was the real, you know, this was really the proper one after Steve had gone. And to give up and give a presentation takes a lot of balls to do that.
Here's $300 million. All you've got to do is stand up in front of 60 people for the next 10 years, three times a year. I'd do that.
Yeah, that's just part of it, though, isn't it? Come on now. Give the guy a break. What do you expect from him, anyway?
What do you expect from anyone for $300 million?
Well, at least a kiss.
I expect him to be round my house every third week. Personally,
I don't expect impressions of a previous leader.
No. I mean, I thought it was fairly mundane, I have to say. I don't think there's a lot of presence there. The one thing that got me was, you know, when Tim came back on at the end and was delivering his final little speech up to the point where he said, and here's 2012 and there's lots more things to come. The whole place was deathly silent. There was no one saying anything. Which is good because that's respectful, but there was just his voice, and his voice when it's in that much isolation just wasn't crisp and clear, and it wasn't vibrant at all, and it died a bit of a death, I thought.
You think so?
Didn't it? Well, his voice was like monotone the whole through that last bit. It just didn't rise and fall with anything, you know.
Anyway, what about the iPad? Never mind,
Tim Cook.
Oh, dude, it's all about the show. Stuff the product.
Good grief.
Go on then, iPad 3. Do we start with that or should we start with Apple TV? Apple TV.
Go on then.
Like they did. Apple TV. Good, bad. Good upgrade, bad upgrade. Kept the price the same.
Pretty simple upgrade. I mean, pretty straightforward, pretty well expected. Nothing amazing.
So you always expected them to go to 1080p. At some point, they had to.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't not. iPad was the perfect catalyst to go up to 1080p. Because of the resolution upscale.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I was a bit disappointed because we saw that new user interface on the Apple TV in the presentation. And then, you know, we were told it would be available for the current Apple TV. So I downloaded it after the keynote and literally it's a new menu on the front. If you forget about the 1080p, the only change really to the Apple TV is that they've changed the UI, but only on the front menu. And I felt a little bit sort of cheated after that. I thought there'd be a lot more
in the update. I must admit, Don, when I saw that UI on the blogs that were going past, I initially thought, great, they're going to have a lot more interaction with the iPad.
Sure.
It's a lot more touch face, you know, with the because they almost seem like you know, a load of buttons, but you're dead right. When you delve into it, it seemed to be very, very much the same.
It's just the same menu, but in a different format. Now, that's not to say that they are thinking along those lines, and in the future they will sort of implement something a bit more cutting edge. But you know, if people are looking forward to downloading that new user interface, don't build your hopes up too much. I have to say that the 1080p though is a welcome addition, and you know, I'm definitely getting one anyway, even if it's just for the 1080p side of things to see how that all works out.
I mean, the one thing that got me about the UI is that at the moment, the UI, if you've got 500 movies on the servers like we have, you know, trying to find those 500 movies is not a problem. You know where they are because they're all in alphabetical order. But to physically get from, I would like to watch, you know, You, Me and Dupree, you can't go round the menu the other way. You've got to start at the top and work your way down. It always comes up at A and you're sitting there holding the thing down, and yeah, it gets faster, but it's still a 2-minute scroll to the bottom. Why is there no ability to have something laid out in a grid format and have 20 movies showing at once so that to scroll through and find the one you want is a piece of cake? And I thought what was interesting with Eddie Q was when he did the demonstration, he said, I just want to show you a bit of this great film. Here it is. And he clicked on it, and it was three more clicks until the movie started playing. If you see the icon of the image that you want to watch or the film that you want to watch, you click on that, the damn thing should start. And it wasn't. It was three more clicks to actually make it work. That's crazy, surely, no?
Well, that was through the store, though, wasn't it? And then it had already been watched, so it's to start again from the beginning or to resume. So there were two of the clicks. But, the back end side of it, other than that new front piece, you know, it's still the same old Apple TV, and there's still plenty of room for innovation in that space, I would think.
Yeah, they definitely need to do something because the search, yeah, I totally agree with you, and the searching for films is just atrocious.
The thing is, that's really weird, is it's searching for films, but it's when you even know where they are.
Yeah.
It's not like you're trying to put something in and find it when it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
So the 1080p as well apparently uses more compression than 720 does. So these things are really rammed down. Now, what's that going to do in terms of image quality? They've taken H.264 and they've really turboed it to get these things down to a manageable file size. But the 1080p movies, from what I'm hearing, are compressed more than 720. And I mean, not just, you know, you'd have to compress it more, but they're hammered compression.
Well, we did a look at this just yesterday and compared image quality on a couple just some TV episodes that just happen to be available for free. But there's noticeable differences. What Apple has done is they've used a different profile for the compression. So it allows them to compress it more, but retain better quality because the Apple TV, the new third generation Apple TV, has a different an improved codec, essentially the more processing power to use a better codec, and so you get more efficient compression, and it doesn't really, you know, there's noticeable quality differences between the 720p and the 1080p, even though the file sizes aren't significantly larger.
So you're saying positive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I downloaded a couple of movie clips earlier today, because you can still, even though we haven't got the Apple TV, you can still go into iTunes, the latest version of iTunes. You can switch on a setting in preferences, and that will, you know, allow you to download 1080p content. And there's a couple of free TV shows and a few clips there, and I downloaded one or two, and they look fine, to be honest. They looked, compared to the 720p stuff that I downloaded, you could see the difference.
I think that's the thing with all of, I mean, this is true of the iPad screen resolution issue as well, as, you know, you tend to look at the screen that you've got and think it's just fine until you look at the screen that's better. So, you know, all of my videos are ripped at 720p. I've got some HD stuff at 720p. It looks fantastic, I think. But the minute I see that movie in 1080, I'm going to go, oh.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, I did a blog post about this earlier today. It's doubtful I should be downloading much 1080p stuff from iTunes anyway, because the price is just ridiculous. I mean, the price to buy movies is just ridiculous. But Netflix are bringing out a 1080p streaming service. I know the choice of films and TV shows on Netflix isn't as good, but there's no way I'd be buying many movies or TV shows from iTunes at the current pricing structure that they have in place.
A lot of people are saying that Apple are very tight. They've really climbed into bed with Netflix now on this. There's a lot of tight coordination between the two companies.
Yeah, you can now like sign up for Netflix and it just charges your iTunes account.
Wow.
Straight from the Apple TV.
That's bedfellows right there. That's the definition.
It's even easier than using a Roku, which Roku was a subsidiary of Netflix, so.
DHM, have you got Apple TVs?
Yeah, I love it. The Apple TV, I mean,
it's awesome.
We won't be going for the 1080p update purely because our TV is only 720p, so we're not going to get any benefit from it. But the thing that is quite useful is the bit that they kind of hid away in the back, which is the what amounts to iCloud for movies, where if you rent the movie or buy the movie, it will stream it down to your other devices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's quite interesting. And I mean, I've only bought one movie through the iTunes store, and that was The Good Shepherd about 2 years ago. And I can't get it back down without them wanting to charge me for it again. So I don't know how long that kind of memory is of what it is that you've purchased. Whether that's going to suddenly now appear because it's on my account.
Well, in theory, but it would be pretty good if it did. I mean, that really is the whole point of having an iTunes account and all this streaming cloud services, that Apple can keep track of what you've bought, what you own, and that you want it, because it's yours, you paid for it. And it is nice to have the opportunity to buy and rent movies and then sort of grab the iPad and have it streamed down to that without having to go through the palaver of downloading it and syncing it and things like that, which is pretty good.
I think the movie industry, they're really missing a trick here, because I would love to just abandon having sort of locally ripped movies, you know, and go through the pain of storing them on drives and trying to keep backups of them and stuff. If the movies were cheap enough and, you know, that it was a no-brain purchase, that, you know, that, right, there's a movie I like to see, it's on iTunes, you know, £3 or £4 and I can actually buy it and access it whenever I want. Fine. I'd do that with all my movies, but you know, £15-16 for a movie each time, there's just no way. And it seems to me that Apple have got the infrastructure in place. They've done it with the music industry. You know, they've shown that if you make a frictionless service and you make it cheap enough, people will prefer to buy the stuff than to, you know, mess about ripping it and stealing it. But while the movie industry, and I'm sure it is the movie industry, I don't think it's Apple that's doing this because it's the movie industry that dictate the prices. Why they still insist on, you know, these you know, expensive movies that just put people off, I don't think the service will actually fly until they actually sort the pricing out.
I think there's a bit of a competition thing going on as well, Dom, because I've seen some movies which you find on Amazon that are cheaper. A few days later or a week or so later, you may find that iTunes then suddenly has the same price. So I think there's more than just the movie industry. There's that competition bit that's kicking in as well.
I think the interesting thing as well is ebooks at the moment. Apple's about to have an antitrust case potentially levied against it by the US government for price fixing of ebooks. And it'd be interesting to see if the movies thing ends up being like that with the 1080p, you know. Whether they end up streaming that across and fixing a price on that. If you want to put your movie with us, it has to, and so on. So, are we saying that the Apple TV is a new purchase-focused product, or are we saying it's an upgrade-focused product? Because my view, I think, if you've already got an Apple TV, or three of them, I don't think you'd be fancying buying one of these. You might get one for the main TV or something like that, but I don't think it's an upgrade product. I think it's more a new user product.
It all depends, Ewan, whether they've got something in the back of that box which they haven't announced about yet. And, you know, they suddenly come on later in the year and say, look, the current Apple TV can also now do this. That may change it. But at this point, obviously, for me, it's a wait and see.
So what you're saying is it's a new user product rather than an upgrade product?
Yes, yes.
What I see is, I mean, if you've got an Apple TV 2 now, the second generation hardware, you're going to get the software update, and the only real difference is hardware wise, I think, is the 1080p output. The second generation one's always going to be limited to 720p output, even if you can send it a 1080p source. So, you know, yeah, I think if you've got a big enough TV, maybe like 50 to 60 inches or larger, it's probably worth $100 and you can, you know, sell the other one off for, you know, probably $40-$50 or, you know, move it to a second TV in the house or give it to a family member. Like I had three Rokus and only two TVs. So I ended up giving one to my girlfriend's sister.
Now, how many of you guys have bought an iPad, by the way?
I have.
Yeah, you've ordered it. DHM, you ordered one?
Nope.
Right. I've ordered one. Could you do me a favor, please, and just quickly check your order status with Apple? There's a breaking story here that someone's posted in the chat room. UK deliveries of new iPads are reported as being delayed as the US iPads are already starting to ship. Now, one of the problems that we had on Wednesday night was that the UK store disappeared off, the whole of Europe actually disappeared immediately after it all went up. The US store came back up within about 30 minutes of the keynote finishing, but the European stores all stayed down. And they stayed down past midnight. There was people, the earliest order that I saw placed was about 2 o'clock in the morning. They started consistently then being placed. There'd been a couple that had got in, but mostly it was down all the way through. I didn't get to order mine until the following morning. I've had one listener already send me a tweet telling me that theirs has been pushed back to the 21st. I've just checked with mine on Safari now, and it's still showing as March 16th. So it should come next Friday, according to this.
Mm-hmm. So is mine.
But yours are still mine at 16?
Mine says delivers March 16th.
According to the story, yours potentially has already started the shipping process, which I don't believe, because UPS are crap, but they're not that crap.
Well, sometimes what they do is to start the process, but they don't actually deliver them until that particular day. I mean, yeah, mine still says 16th of March. So.
Chat room, if you've got, if you have ordered one, it'd be interesting to hear what you said, because...
I mean, the thing was yesterday that they're now showing, if you try and order one today, it's showing a 2 or 3 week delivery. So they've actually, it looks like they've actually burnt through all the initial stock. So it's just if you buy one from this day forward, you know, it's going to be a 2 or 3 week delay before you actually receive it.
I have heard a story that the stores are now running out or have run out of allocation. Quite what that means, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people are saying 16th. No one's saying that they've been deferred yet. The story that I got, the guy that told me he was deferred, he's in the Isle of Man, so that may be because it's a remoter isle, it may have an issue to do with it. But he placed his order literally 10 minutes before I managed to get mine through. So I'm kind of on exactly the same time period as him, and mine's still showing 16th. Interestingly enough, I ran a little straw poll the other day about, you know, did you buy one? Yes, no. What did you buy? And then do you really think you're going to get it on the 16th? And what was really interesting was that of all the people that bought it, 16 gig, there was only a couple of people out of 40 respondents who said yes. Most people hit the 32 gig. That was the sweet spot for them. And 90% of people didn't think they'd got, I hope so, or I don't know if I will, for responding as to that we're going to get it on time. A lot of people were very dubious that they would get it on time.
Mm.
No faith, see?
Well, they've always been, if you've pre-ordered, and I mean, I've always received something on the day they've said they're going to deliver it, I think. I seem to remember, like the iPhone, et cetera, the iPhone 4S. That was a pre-order and a delivery on a certain day, and that turned up.
All confident.
I think we'll be okay.
What sizes did we buy then, Don?
I went for the 64 gig Wi-Fi and 3G/4G black.
Yeah. Chris?
Top dog. I got a 32 gig Wi-Fi.
Any reason for not going for the 64?
I didn't have an extra $200 to spend.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair point. And Gaz?
Well, exactly the same as Chris, except I'm hoping to get the extra money because I'm selling my original iPad.
Right.
Okay. So I went for the 64 gig Wi-Fi. And I went for the 64 gig. I thought initially, no, the 32 gig will be fine, absolutely fine. But when I saw iPhoto on the iPad and when I'm thinking about iBooks, I thought, no, it's got to be a 64 gig.
How many bought a pre-ordered Apple TV, no? Don?
Yeah, I've ordered one.
That's a stupid question on my part, really, but...
Well, no, I need it for testing my shows and stuff, so that's my excuse anyway, but...
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's for work, darling. Steve Naber, the chairman of the Mac User Group, came on the big show last night and he said he woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning, couldn't get back to sleep, so he said, I went and ordered an iPad. And then the wife woke up and I had breakfast with her and I told her what I'd done and I'd cancelled it by 8 o'clock. But no one else has ordered Apple TV. I haven't. And I don't think I will. Unless, as Gaz says, you know, something miraculous happens.
But I think you're right in what you said before. It's not really an upgrade, is it? It's more of a new purchase thing. And because there's, you know, you've got your bandwidth considerations. You've got the actual TV itself. You know, is it going to support it? But we'll give it a go. Well, I'll report back when it... Interestingly, that one says between March the 16th and the 19th. So there's no guarantee I'm going to get that on the 16th.
Mine says definite 16th. It doesn't give me any other option, so...
Yeah, the same with me.
For the Apple TV.
Ah, right, okay.
Right, the iPad says delivers on March 16th. Apple TV says dispatched March 16th to the 19th, so a couple of days late.
Our Jane in the chat room, who does live in Perth, Australia, says that it's iPad is between the 16th and the 22nd of March, but Australia's a long way away, isn't it?
That's a long way.
It's closer to where they're manufactured, though.
That's true.
Same hemisphere, not far off the same timelines. Right, iPad. Impressed, unimpressed? Good enough upgrade, not good enough upgrade?
Awesome.
You say awesome. So clarify awesome for us then, Chris.
I mean, you've got, hands down, the display is the biggest thing for me. Having used, so I got the original iPad when it came out, and, you know, the display was great. It was fine. Got an iPhone 4, and suddenly the display looks like crap. Because I've become so accustomed to using my iPhone 4 and just, I mean, type is as sharp as it is on a printed page. It's so much easier to read and to see things. And the Retina display on the iPad 3, it's going to give you the same experience. Our senior Apple editor, Jackie Chang, was in San Francisco for the media event, and she basically held her iPhone 4 up next to one of the new iPads, and she said she could not tell a difference as far as quality was concerned. So, you know, that's one thing I'm really looking forward to. And you know, I'm also personally really excited about the camera upgrade. I know we were talking earlier about that you wish it was 8 megapixels, and you know, so do I, but I think now it's a usable camera, where before the camera on the iPad 2 was just a piece of junk.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to screw that bit. Good, bad, done? Enough?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, more than enough. I think if it was just the display, that would have been enough. But, you know, we've got the extra things such as the camera. I mean, and, you know, I agree that it's the display that's going to do it for me. And I think until, you know, we're all expecting for it to be really impressive, but I think it's one of those things that unless you actually see it in real life, you know, you won't actually understand the full magnitude of what they've actually done, you know, and the difference it's going to make. So I'm really looking forward to the Retina display. I think that's going to be a significant increase. And again, I never really had an issue with the original iPad. You know, the iPad 2 screen, I think, is really nice. But when you do compare it with an iPad, you know, you can see the difference. And to have that clarity, that resolution on, you know, a 10-inch panel, it's pretty amazing, really, how they've actually managed to engineer that.
I mean, Gaz, you're saying you're upgrading. Are you going from a 1 to a 3 or a 2 to a 3?
1 to a 3.
Yeah, I'm 1 to 3 as well. So, I mean, this is a big leap.
See, that's interesting, that as well, though, because I think it's going to, you know, when the 4S came out and they sort of, you know, sold tons of them, that was because there were the people who were upgrading from the 4, but more often than not, people were upgrading from an earlier iPhone to the 4S. And I think the same is going to happen with the iPad. I think they're going to have significant sales of this new machine because you're going to get the people who are going to upgrade anyway. But there's an awful lot of people who are on iPad 1 and skipped iPad 2 are going to go for this. So I think the sales are going to be off the charts when they, you know, in the next 3 or 4 months.
But there's not going to be, I mean, realistically, is the world full of people that, you know, anyone that wants an iPad has an iPad? Are we at that stage yet?
No. A long way from it, I would think.
Well, the interesting thing was that iPad outsold all computer manufacturers for the last quarter, didn't it? Mm-hmm. There was more iPads sold than any computer company sold of any computer across their entire line. So there was more iPads sold than total HP computers, laptops, netbooks, desktops, the whole shebang, all added together.
Yeah. So, and don't forget, the other thing is the current iPad, you know, this really popular device is actually going to be $100 cheaper as of when the new iPad comes out. So that's another significant thing that really was not played down, but, you know, we've not really heard much about that. But, you know, they've lowered the barrier to entry now with the iPad 2.
I thought 2 was a respectable upgrade as well. I didn't slag that off as being a low-level thing that, you know, they were just trying to steal your money. That's looked like a decent upgrade.
Yeah, I would have gone to 2. I was in the US when it was released, Ewan, and I was hoping to get one. But, I mean, you know the problems that I had in the US at release. There was just wasn't one available anywhere and wasn't able to get one. But when I came back, the fact that it was just from 1 to 2 and there was a camera and it was a decent upgrade, but it was still too expensive, I think, for me to just jump up. And I decided at that point that I'd wait until the 3 came along.
I mean, I chose not to just on the basis of I looked at what I actually did with it, and what I actually did with it didn't need a 2. Now, the one thing that's happened this year, and there was a good acid test for me this week because I made a right cock up because I decided to take me iPad with me last week on the coach up to Leek with the rugby team, and I put my Wi-Fi dongle in there and I put my iPad in with my camera bag. And then when I came back, I changed the camera bag and I moved all of my cameras over to the larger camera bag to go to work with, and I didn't move my iPad over. So I went away this week and I hadn't got my iPad, and I have been bored to death in the hotel room. My standard practice is I go down for breakfast in the morning, I unroll the iPad, and I'm sitting looking at news stories on the BBC app, and I'm sat there, I've got a copy of the Times, it's 5 times bigger than the iPad is, you know, spread out. I'm turning the pages and knocking over cups, and no one can come and sit on a 4-way table with me because I've spread the paper out across it. And that was the moment when I realized, yeah, I really do want a new iPad because I want the iPad. I love the iPad. The iPad is so integrated into my life that I can't do without it. I've forgotten it. And it's and that was the one slide that they put up that really shocked me. And good on Tim for saying, he said, you know, people are describing this as a device that is so heavily integrated into their life, they can't imagine a time when they didn't have it.
Yeah.
And it's only 2 years old. So you're not talking about a product that's seated itself in your daily routine over a 10-year period or a 5-year period. You're talking about something that's not even two.
Well, the nice thing is it sort of molds to whatever you want it to be, doesn't it? It's different things to different people. That's the genius of it. It's a flat, you know, it's a slab of glass basically that becomes whatever you want it to become, depending on which applications you install and run on it. And the interesting thing is that I was impressed with the iPhoto for iPad. Again, you know, they're bringing more and more content creation applications to the iPad, but that you can only run that on, is it just the iPad? Yeah, it's iPad 2 and iPad and the new iPad. You can't actually run it on iPad 1, yeah. So again, that's going to push more people who are on iPad 1s across to either the iPad 2 or to the new iPad. And I think it'll bring more new people in as well. You know, you can manage all your photos on this device now as well.
Can we just all agree to call it the iPad 3?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
iPad 3rd gen.
Well, actually, the chat room wants to, there's a super chicken in the chat room who's going to call his Mavis instead. iCyberPaul made a comment in the chat room. iPad 1 to iPad 3 is a great update. iPad 2 to iPad 3, I'm not as sure about that. Jane in the chat room saying she was disappointed there wasn't an upgrade to 128 gig. And also Longball saying in the chat room, it would have been a bit too costly, however. Mm. And I know, Don, you've agreed with Jane saying that you were surprised there wasn't at least an option for it.
Yeah, I was surprised. But again, it's all down to pricing, isn't it? I think they still wanted to hit those price points. And, you know, they've got the better display. They've got, the camera optics in there as well. So something had to go. So presumably, you know, they would prefer to add functionality and then just storage. I mean, 68 gigs, still quite, you know, still an awful lot of storage that you can get out of
stuff. They'll break.
Let's remember, too, Apple is the world's largest purchaser of NAND flash in the world by an order of magnitude. And they are getting the best price that anyone can get on the stuff. I think that there's just still an issue of the cost involved of flash memory. I mean, doubling from 64 to 128 isn't a trivial, it's not a trivial thing because you need way more logic board space. And the higher density chips that would make it easier or even possible to do on the current logic board are just now coming out of factories. So
people have decided in the chat room to no longer use iPad or iPad 3 as a title. They are now giving them names. So James is now Cyril. Gaz has agreed to go from iPad 1 to Mavis as well.
Just a point on that memory statement, though. I think they will use it when they need to in the future if the competition start kicking in. That's that's the beauty of the way Apple upgrade. They keep the same price, but make it a much more powerful device.
I mean, here's a question for all of you then, because I know my answer to this. In terms of the iPad iPhone relationship and the quantity of storage that you've got on it, I've got a 32 gig iPhone and I've got a 32 gig iPad. My iPhone is chock-a-block. It's got podcasts, it's got audiobooks, it's got a small amount of video, not much, and it's got audiobooks. Now, my iPad is a 32 gig iPad. I haven't got 8 gigs worth of stuff on there, and there's no movies on it at all, because all the movies that I watch, I stream from the extra hard drive that's in my MacBook via AirVideo. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sitting thinking I've bought a 64 gig, but actually I could have gotten away with a 16 quite happily, because I don't even fill the 32 that I've currently got.
I've got to say, mine is completely the reverse, Ewan. I've got almost completely the reverse situation to you there. Mm-hmm.
So your iPhone's empty, but your iPad is chucked.
Yes.
So the kind of lifestyle you lead then means that you get to sit and watch more than have to listen, because I drive a car an awful lot, so I have to listen.
Yeah, but there's a bigger difference as well. The fact that it's not my iPad, it is still the family iPad, and it is used by everyone in the family.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of key thing on mine. I've got, you know, I've got my iPhone, my wife's got her iPhone, and we have a family iPad. So it's definitely a more, you know, it sits in the lounge, and whoever's cruising past it picks it up. And generally what you have to do before you do anything on the iPad is get rid of whatever, whoever's Facebook account is up and running on it. But definitely, yeah. It's not as personal a device as the phone.
I think it's going to be different as well when we move into the iPad 3. There you go, Chris. I think, you know, the storage is going to be more important because the amount of media that we get is going to increase. You know, the size of applications are going to increase. I saw a couple of tweets earlier today. People are starting to complain that the size of iMovie's gone from, at least on the phone, it's gone from like 100 meg to like 400 meg. And, you know, once you get all these additional graphics being rolled in, I mean, my SEO tutor applications are sort of getting bigger because it's not because of the iPad 3, it's because of, I'm actually bringing an iPhone version out, so I'm having two versions of the movies in. But, you know, the SEO tutor app is 500 or 600 meg if you want to download it and have it on your iPad. Movies, obviously. I just think storage, although, yeah, the strategy for Apple is to have everything in the cloud, I think local storage is still important. And another thing I meant to mention is games. We've not touched on games. You know, it's a great gaming platform now. You've got the quad-core graphics chip now. You're going to have all these highly detailed textured renderings of games and all the game, you know, textures that need to be installed as well once you get one of these games. So local storage, I think, will become more and more important as more and more people get these larger applications and games and extra media.
There's a comment in the chat room here, and I don't know if he meant to put another P in here, but lots of Facebook raping taking place in the DHM household. I've never heard of a Facebook raping.
Sounds vaguely unsettling, doesn't it?
I think that might be rapping, but maybe not. Please correct that, Russ, if it isn't. The graphics, the screen, we're all very impressed with the screen. I'm really impressed with the screen, I have to say. I thought that was well worth the upgrade on its own. Graphics is going to be good. I thought what was quite interesting is that the Apple technique now isn't to give you the full specs on everything. There was a conjecture article on Engadget about how much, on The Verge, saying how much memory there is on this thing. And they're all saying they reckon it's 1 gig of RAM. And I went on, I thought, oh, that's an interesting comment. I'll go back and have a look at the Apple website. According to the Apple website, this thing has no RAM. So yeah, you may need to buy that as an next edition.
They've actually never revealed the RAM,
right?
On any of the iPhones or the iPads, that's all been done programmatically, where people write, you know, applications that can like pull the operating system and figure it out. That's one of the things that they've been doing actually for a while now, and actually I'd say in the last year they've been doing it even more, but they tell you less and less about the hardware. They give you a few, you know, hey, it's A5X because it's extreme and extra or whatever, and all they do is basically tell you, hey, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's weird though, isn't it? They will tell you the specs of the chip, and they'll even say it's a quad core graphics chip, but they won't tell you what the RAM is. But I think again the quad core thing's a little bit not naughty of them, but it's going to confuse a lot of people because, you know, we're seeing quad-core processors coming out for or being tablets. And then this is a quad-core, but it's just a quad-core graphics, which, you know, no one's going to know what the difference is. They'll just see quad-core here and quad-core there and do a comparison between them. But they're very selective in what they say, I think.
We've had Facebook raping has been explained to me in the chat room. Apparently, Facebook raping is when someone posts something to someone else's account to usually try and embarrass them. I'd have thought there was a better title for that, to be honest, than myself, but there you go. Fraping is the other thing that gets phrased. So. It's obviously the children. It's one for the kids. Not as older folk.
Yeah, they casually bandy around these fake phrases that can be mildly disturbing, actually. I suspect it's a bit of teen rebellion going on, that they delight in the fact of...
You just love the idea of your daughters coming in and going, yeah, I totally F-raped him.
Yeah.
What? Do I need to call social services or the police? My dad F-raped me the other night. Just no, that's not right.
No, it's not, is it?
You need a better phrase there, I'm afraid. Start something else. I won't be using that one. Oh, apparently there's another one now as well. There's a Twitter rape, which is called a twape. They're making it up now. They're just going to get me. They're writing stuff just so I read it out. Yeah. What about the iPhoto then? Chris, you liked iPhoto?
Yeah. Can I just jump back? Sorry.
Sure, of course can, yeah.
A good friend of mine, Pat Mann, who's actually in the chat room now, I think, has made a point to me about the fact that they didn't particularly go on about how it's heavier and fatter than the last one.
Well, I mean, it's 1 millimeter. Let's quantify that rather than just this coming out with
0.6 millimeters.
0.6 of a millimeter, I think it is.
Yeah, and it's back up to 1.4. The original one was 1.5, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. It's still lighter and thinner than the original, I think.
Yes.
But no mention of it at all. Not even it's still almost as, because you know they've still kept the battery the battery life, of course, which was a big concern for me, especially with all the 4G and all the Wi-Fi super duper signals that they can now pick up, and you know, to have kept that battery life as long as it is, because that's still a biggie. That battery life is a biggie for everybody, I think.
They've actually doubled the capacity of the battery. It's double what it was in the iPad 2.
So I'm wondering whether actually those people that are not going to use the 4G and just use the Wi-Fi version, whether that it's, you know, all of that battery usage is going to be down to the processor on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an hour's difference, isn't there? It's 10 hours on Wi-Fi, 9 hours on the 4G.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't say they'd had complaints that the, you know, iPad 2 was too thin, so they've made it a little bit bulky. You know, that's the approach I would have taken.
I mean, going back to the 4G thing then, I mean, the 4G thing seems a bit of a... The one thing I got in my head when I looked at this was well, by the time people have got 4G networks actively running in their local areas, we'll be on iPad 5, iPad 4 at least. I mean, certainly in the UK, we're talking 2016. So that's 4 years away. Now, in 4 years' time, we'll be on iPad 8. So I'm just a bit... Chris, what's the prevalence of you guys for 4G LTE out there? Are you going to see any benefit from this at all?
Well, I'm lucky in Chicago because we've got pretty wide swaths of AT&T LTE and Verizon LTE. Verizon's LTE rollout covers like something like 80 or 90% of their potential market now.
Why?
So it's not moved out into a lot of the rural areas, but I mean, obviously, you know, they want to get it in the bigger. You know, they started with the big cities and hit all of them right away, and then they've already started moving out to some of the smaller cities. So I think even like Lafayette, Indiana, which is my hometown. Maybe a reasonable medium-sized city, a college town where Purdue University is, and they've already got Verizon LTE out there. So Verizon's definitely way ahead of AT&T on this. AT&T, though, they've launched in some major markets, and it's starting to roll out. I think that AT&T will probably be able to roll out a little bit faster. They've done some spectrum buying here in the States, and they also did a lot of upgrades to their 3G infrastructure that makes it easier for them to upgrade to LTE. So it's relatively like an equipment swap for them as it becomes available. So in the States, it makes sense. Outside of the States, though, I mean, you know, originally Europe was far ahead of us on this LTE thing, and then they pushed it back several years, and this was like a year or two ago. Outside of the States, yeah, it's kind of I think that the LTE iPads that they're selling in the UK aren't even compatible with the one, is it Orange that has a network going?
Well, there's my understanding is that there's a test network at the moment in London, right, for sure. And right. Paul in the chat room saying, my mate says that 4G is coming in the UK next year and he works for a telecom. But my thoughts, and I'll gladly be corrected, my understanding was that actually they hadn't completely finished selling off the spectrum. It wasn't, the ink wasn't dry yet.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
So there isn't a spectrum out there for anyone to use officially at this point in time anyway. So even saying it's definitely coming next week, well, they might have the infrastructure, but they might not actually have the license.
Well, the thing is, I think it's one is a reaction to the competition, because we're seeing more and more other tablets being touted as having 4G compatibility. So I think they needed to do it as a marketing exercise, and probably they didn't really care if it's not available in other territories, because it's probably cheaper for them to actually build it in rather than having different, you know, models for different countries. It's probably easy for them just to make a single iPad, or, you know, or three variants of the iPad, two for the North American market and one for everywhere else. And then, you know, as you say, wait for the next iPad to come out, when they will then probably start to look at Spectrum. And I mean, the thing is with Apple, they've got enough clout that you know, probably telecoms will build their LTE networks to accommodate the iPad.
Well, I think that's quite interesting. I mean, is Carl came out to see me at the hotel the other week when I was down near him. And I've got the standard HSPA 3 dongle, and Carl's got the HSPA Plus dongle. And we sat at the bar, pulled these things out and fired them up, and he wasn't getting any more speed than I was, because mine's up to 7.2, his is up to 21. Well, I was getting 5.6 and he was getting 5.6. And he's cost him 75 quid, mine cost me 50 quid 3 years ago. So, there's the real issue, is they're all selling you these packages on the up twos, mm-hmm. but no one's mm-hmm. actually fulfilling that criteria. Yeah. You know, if you just bought HSPA Plus and upgraded from HSPA, I said to three, I want to upgrade to the new one. Am I going to get a benefit? Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, can you lend me one? Can you show me that there's going to be a difference? Can I go to a store and I can put mine next to yours and see a difference? Well, no. No, I mean, you just have to buy it, you know, 75 quid. But it will be better, definitely. Wherever you go, it'll be better. And it's not.
Well, it's a slightly different subject, but we was in Blackpool a few weeks ago. We went through the stores and I walked past an O2 shop, and I'm using the GIFJAF or GIFGAF mm-hmm. contract, which is using the O2 service. And there was no O2 service next to this O2 store. It just
so all incredible. The phones got blank screens in there. It's
just incredible.
No, they're all piggybacking the 3 network.
Probably, yeah.
Oh dear. Was there anything else that would stand out about the iPad 3 then for anyone?
Well, one thing we didn't mention was the voice dictation, which because one of the things we were sort of expecting was Siri, and a little bit surprised that they didn't roll out Siri. But as long as they've got the voice dictation, I think that's a good move, because that's going to help people, I think, using the iPad for business. Because the voice dictation is really good on the iPhone. I don't know if you've used it very much on the iPhone 4S with Siri, that you have a little microphone button on the keyboard that you can tap and then just dictate your emails or talk into any text box. And that works very, very well, and they've actually brought that across to the iPad 3.
I mean, people have said that as long as it's relatively quiet, it functions very well.
I've used it in the car when it's been fairly noisy, and it's good as long as you've got a good signal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd heard the same. But the thing is, I was quite surprised that Siri didn't come as well. And there was a bit of me sitting thinking that Apple's maybe been a bit deceitful, perhaps, to a certain degree, because where's Siri going to go then? Because if they're saying it's a 4S device, someone said last night, you know, if this is under beta, then surely, you know, you've got to make sure you get it right before you roll it out across other products. Well, surely if you've got a beta, you'd want it across a product that it was going to be used for, to get the data to see if it was functioning. I don't follow that logic. You know, if 4S has got it, why has iPad 3 not got it?
Well, the only sort of explanation that I've read, which I think is credible, is that the iPad isn't an always-on device. Because the iPhone, you know, you've either got Wi-Fi or you've got data on your iPhone. And theoretically, wherever you've got your iPhone, I know it doesn't actually happen in the UK, but, you know, in the US, where you've got good coverage and good, you know, free Wi-Fi everywhere, you're pretty much guaranteed to have a data connection to your iPhone most places that you go. Now, if you've got your iPad, say with the Wi-Fi iPad, it's fine in the house. But if you take that away, where you haven't got any Wi-Fi, well, Siri's just going to stop working. And I would imagine Siri, you know, will stop working. Well, it would work less on the iPad because you haven't got a continuous data connection. And that might actually cause it to sort of be talked down, really.
Okay, I'll go with that. I'm not sold by it, but it's an explanation.
It seems a valid reason.
Yeah. Anyone else think that it should have been there?
Only for possible business use, but not on. I mean, on a personal use, not. I wouldn't use Siri You would? I
would have used it a lot. It would have made the... I mean, if that had come in with Siri, that would have made the difference between me putting an iPhone mount in my car and an iPad mount in my car. Because I'd have put my dongle in and I'd have had a 3G hub going around while I was...
as long as you wouldn't be like one of these people that has it right in front of your face when they're driving along with the maps on. I mean...
No.
Well, that could be another reason. It might be, you know, the speech detection's better on the iPhone than the iPad, because, you know, normally you're not going to bring your iPad up to your mouth to talk to it. You know, your iPad's going to be here. Perhaps they quite haven't cracked the voice detection and the noise cancellation to make it robust enough for the Siri.
Mm. You know? Maybe. Anything else that stood out?
Oh, Bluetooth 4.
Mm. Okay.
I was just reading something the other day where, you know, it's something that was actually talked about a lot about at Macworld. Some companies talking about making Bluetooth 4 devices for the iPhone 4S. But they're also talking about the same things will work with the iPad. And one of the, I guess, the real brilliant thing about it is that devices, especially don't require a lot of data transfer, can operate this really low power setting. And they were saying something along the lines of, like, you know, you could get a portable keyboard that could last for like 1 to 2 years on a set of batteries.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah. There's also the there's no pairing with Bluetooth 4, I believe. You just basically introduce a piece of kit. And there's a nice video kicking around from the people who do the Pogo. Is it they do the Pogo stylus? Of a new stylus for the iPad, which is pressure sensitive, but it's also Bluetooth 4. So, you know, it's very low power. You don't have to pair it. You just basically start using it on your iPad and it'll work.
That was interesting because that was released 2 days prior. There was the press release for that came out 2 days prior to the iPad 3 release. And it said it's a pressure sensitive one for iPad 3. So they obviously had an inkling that 4 was coming out with the iPad.
So what's the bets on iPad 4 coming with a pen holder?
Zero.
Yeah.
No one's going to take your money on that one, mate. This podcast and many others would not be possible without UK2.net. They are the people that really keep us afloat. Thank you ever so much to them for nearly closing on 3 years' worth of support for BagelTech. We've hammered the servers a good deal in that period of time, and yet they still keep coming back and saying thanks very much. You guys are supporting them, which makes them very happy. So please do carry on with that. If you've got anything you need that's web-based, if it's a domain name, servers, anything like that, please go and check them out. Go to our website, bageltechnews.com, and click on the link, and they'll know we sent you. And anything you buy, you get 15% off with the offer code BAGELTECH. And if you transfer a domain in, use the offer code BAGELDNS, and that'll get you the domain name management charge taken back off. Yeah, so you won't put no Bagel Tech listeners pay for that. Bagel DNS, Bagel D, and Bagel Tech, and you'll get the discounts off. Please support them. They've got tons and tons of stuff available, and they're really fantastic to us. Have we got any cool things, Don? Would you like to start us off?
Okay. Another gadget. Got one of these. Just pick this up. It's the Lessie Thunderbolt. 1 terabyte.
Now I'm jealous.
With despite Willis's, I've sort of decided to go down the Thunderbolt route now and get a few more Thunderbolt equipped stuff. But it's quite expensive. I think it was about 330-340 quid. But I'm going to use it as I'm sort of rejigging my studio. I'm going to start using the MacBook Air a lot more now for my screencasting, and I'm going to use this for like multiple different operating systems, so Mountain Lion, etc. So, but it works a treat. It's brilliant. It's very, very quick, and it's a nice bit of kit, but a bit expensive. I hope they bring the prices down fairly soon.
Go on, mate. How much was that?
I think it was about 330.
You don't even know how much it was. The value of it. How much is a pint of milk, Don?
Don't be at it.
You decadent individual.
It's business. It's a business expense. I need it for my job, so that's why I buy it, yeah.
Yeah, 720 RPM drive, just no good at all. Got to have Thunder Chicken. So guesstimate your price again, Don, was it?
I think it was about 350 quid, around that. 330, 350, something like that.
I know the price of drives has gone up, but...
Oh. That's a lot of milk.
Yeah.
That's a lot of milk, yeah.
Yeah. But it's 2 500 gig drives, so you can.
Well, it's not even a 1 terabyte drive.
No, no, but you need that to get the speed, because you can put them in a raid, and then you've got, so that boosts the speed even further, so that's why they have 2500 gig drives in there.
Is it the Lassie?
Yes, it is, yeah. It's is it called a little big drive or something? Yeah, it's the...
So you've got your spare power supplies laid in, have you, Don?
Beg pardon?
You've got your pile of spare power supplies laid in, have you?
Why is that for?
Because Lassie drives are the biggest
pile. Oh, right. It's got a 3-year guarantee, so at least I can get it swapped out within 3 years if it goes out. So,
oh dear, they're notorious for bad power supplies, you say, Dr. Happy Mac?
Shocking for bad power supplies, absolutely shocking.
If you wish to sue Dr. Happy Mac, please do not hold this podcast responsible for any inaccurate statements he may have just made.
I go by the pile of Lassie drives in the bin in my office, which is 4 or 5 times bigger than the pile of any other manufacturer's drives. So I'm not claiming anything; I'm basing it on purely empirical evidence.
Okay, thank you, mate. Thanks for clarifying.
That's okay.
When it comes to the High Court, I'll be sure to keep this video as evidence.
Other people's experiences with reliability may differ. Your mind may vary.
Just in time. Just in time.
Don wasted his money.
I'm trying to look up to find out how much it was now. Because you've I'll find out and I'll let you know later.
Just had a message from Sarah. Sorry to interrupt, but it would appear that we're moving, of course, to British Tech Network after the 1st of April. And she's just informed me that the BritishTechNetwork.com website is up with a little holding page that says we're definitely coming. So there you go. Mm-hmm. We're moving swiftly towards it. Oh, I'm excited now. Chris, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going with iPhoto for iOS. It's $5.
That's good.
Be better spent if you do a lot of stuff with photos. But I mean, the editing tools are really simple to use and cover, you know, they don't cover everything, but they cover a lot. You know, you can really tweak, if you've got a half decent picture, you can really tweak it and make it pretty nice. And, you know, it works great on my iPad 2, it works great on the iPhone 4S. I can't wait to try it on the iPad 3, where I think it's going to really shine. But, you know, it's great. You can send pictures back and forth from your iPhone to your iPad 2. That makes it, that feature alone has been really nice. So highly recommend it.
Jolly good. Excellent, mate. And a good price as well. Mm-hmm. DHM, what you got for us?
I couldn't find £350 to spend on an exciting thing. So what I spent was absolutely nothing on a slightly less exciting but very useful thing. You might have spotted on the internet that there's a really useful website, particularly if you're not looking for girls and things, because it hasn't got any girls on it at all. The monumentally useful iFixit.com.
Yes.
Which has online repair guides for with every Mac going and everything like that. And as well as other things, you know, Macs, PCs, washing machines, cars, blah, blah, blah. But mostly from my point of view, you know, new Macs, strip downs of what's in Macs and all that sort of thing. And they now have an iPhone and an iPad app, which is brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Which is free to download for both. And you can click on it and you can browse through all the different Mac models. And every single one, is pretty much every Mac going is listed in there, and the strip downs and repair guides, step by steps with huge high resolution photographs of every step of the way. So if you don't fancy putting your computer in a box and shipping it out to me and having it fixed and having it shipped back to you, and you do own a tri-wing screwdriver and a security screwdriver and a Torx screwdriver and all these other gubbins and a spudger, et cetera, et cetera, then you can do your own repairs.
I used iFixit today to fit my drive and memory, and I for the first time I saw the tri-wing screwdriver, and that is an absolute travesty, mate. They should never have done that. I agree with you now.
Exactly.
It's a horror. You can't even frig it with something else. It's just horrible.
I know. It's absolutely toot, isn't it? But there you go. We have to live with it. So you can buy buy them off eBay and things, but you need to make sure you get quality ones, because some of them, there's a MacBook Air screwdriver. Would you believe there's a separate screwdriver just for the screws on the bottom of a MacBook Air?
I'll do it up to the camera, mate. Let's see. What shape is the point?
It's a pentalobe, which is a rounded five-pointed star. Won't get to see it. And
looks like a flower.
It's absolutely nearly bonkers.
Don't scratch so that, your lens, mate.
That's a different one for that. But if you do have all this kit, it's great. And the photos make it a breeze and it's free. So what is not to love? The answer is there is nothing not to love.
There we go. Good pick. Gaz. Oh, go on. Just your rant.
Well, this is just spreading on from iPhoto, which I've been looking at as we've been doing it and things like that. Is this ridiculous? I mean, another app from Apple, another overload of this skeuomorphic absolute rubbish. All this sort of idiocy that they've got about making things look like the real world, shelves, glass shelves and stitched leather and things like that. It's like iPhoto could be brilliant and they just spoil everything that they touch with this stupid interface.
And the brushes, I like it.
But, ugh.
Not nothing
personal, but
right. I was looking at Windows work, 8.
It works in iPhoto. I mean, all the crap they do, like an address book, and especially online, I mean, that's garbage. The calendar crap, dumb. But the way they do it in iPhoto on the iPad and the iPhone, it works.
Yeah, you know what works is I mean, iPhoto would be better or have a clearer run at the field if Snapseed didn't exist.
Photo Forge as well. Love Photo Forge. Don yeah. has needs a little bit of a bit of help with PR here. He's put in the chat room the actual price of the LaCie driver has been £291 plus VAT, £291 plus VAT, to which everyone's gone into uproar because they're not business users and VAT does mean something to them. In which case, he's then reported with back, okay, it's £349 to the non-business types, but don't forget you need a Thunderbolt cable as well, which is real paper cut lemon juice stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's.
Yeah, which is another £30 on top.
So out to just really, really piss people off, good and proper. Well done. Done.
Mean to.
Anyone that slightly disliked you before hates you now.
I had to buy a Thunderbolt cable this week so I could download a firmware update into a bloody monitor.
Oh, well. Did you charge the person?
No, that's just like cost of the job. You have to have the cable.
What was it? Was it a £10 job and you spent £30 doing it?
Why would you need to?
You did, didn't you? You lost money on the job.
It makes the next job a little bit cheaper. Offset it.
Gaz, what have you got for us? Oh, go on, Chris.
I'm still trying to understand why he needed the cable to update this monitor.
Because that was the only interface for it.
Because you need a Thunderbolt cable to plug into the back of the old style non-Thunderbolt 24-inch cinema displays to update the firmware.
Can't you do a mini display port?
Yeah.
I think you can. I think it says, I do believe, I was looking and it said you require a Thunderbolt equipped Mac with a Thunderbolt cable to deliver the data into the monitor.
Yes. Thunderbolt monitor?
Mm-hmm.
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I've got the cable now anyway.
Oh, well, jolly good. And you lost money getting it. Gaz, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to go for some tips again. Here you go. These, I know, work in text edit and I know that they work in pages, so they may well work in other areas of the system. So if you're typing away in a document, you know, sometimes you hit the backslash or you've got a full keyboard and you hit the delete key. Well, if you hold down the alt button, it will, if you hold down the alt button and press delete, it will then delete the word to the right of the cursor. Or the rest of the word to the right of the cursor. And if you do the same thing by holding down the alt key and the backslash, it will then delete the word in front of the cursor. So that's a neat little trick if you just want to delete a whole word rather than tapping delete, 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 or backslash, backslash, backslash. And there's another one, which I think most people know this, that if you hover over the icon on your MacBook or MacBook Air, portable device, and you press the alt key over the Wi-Fi signal, it gives a lot more information about the current signal that you're on with lots of details. Well, if you do the same thing over the battery icon, it just tells you what condition the battery's in, whether it's in normal condition, it's just kind of a one word option. So it just gives you a little bit more information about the battery. And one more, if you're in iTunes, and like me, you're going into the iTunes store and you're looking around and, you know, you've got some music or a podcast playing. But you want to get back quickly to that song for whatever reason, because it's obviously in a group of songs and you perhaps want to move on to the next one, or for whatever reason, if you press Command L, that takes you straight back to your selection in the song that's currently playing. It's a quick way to get back. So there you go, three little tips.
And all far cheaper than anything else, including Thunderbolt cables and the C drives.
Including milk.
I'm not going to help things because my pick's going to cost money. I've got my new MacBook Pro was here when I got home from the hotel on Thursday night, and I've started putting it all together and loved it. My pick is the spec case for the unibody MacBooks. Mine's here in two halves because the Pro's here still being put together. But these effectively, this is a purple one, and the purple one is gorgeous on the silver underneath. It looks really, really nice. But you just clip them on the front and on the bottom, and they protect your finish. The one thing that's a characteristic of my previous MacBook Pro, which is nearly 5 years old, is the fact that it's battered to hell. It's got dents in it, and it's got scrapes on it. And when you scratch the aluminium and it goes black, you can wipe it clean, but it always comes back black again. You never keep them clean after that. So I thought, I'm going to keep this one relatively clean and let that get scuffed. So £40, though, that's a bit for a bit of plastic. That's I felt a bit ripped off, but I also don't want to scratch my new MacBook. So there you go. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Right, well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video tutorials, both iOS and Mac, and also on the blog, themacscreencastguy.com. And on Twitter as Don McAllister.
Two episodes up today, a free one and a members one, wasn't there?
No, there's a free one was last. There was two free ones last week. This week I'm doing an iOS show and a Mac show, both about Readability, which is this new online and offline reading service that's come out. It's very smart. That's Readability this week.
Okay, jolly good. Chris, where can we meet you?
As always, I'm at arstechnica.com, posting brilliant writing every day. And when I'm not doing that, I'm tweeting about all sorts of inane or obscene things on Twitter at ForzMac.
Or swearing on the photo show so I can have some editing at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Thanks, mate.
Sometimes.
Yeah. DHM, where are you?
I am at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters, and I am at www.drhappymac.co.uk on the old-fashioned internet.
Jolly good, mate. Thanks. And Gaz, where we get you?
Nice and easy. Just like the name down here, gazmaz.com. That's where you'll find lots of links to lots of podcasts and to the Twitter. I might have done that the wrong way around, by the way. It might be that way.
No. Refereeing this week or not?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know,
the chest allows.
Yeah, if the chest allows.
Jolly good. We'll be back next week as normal. We've got the Daily Show will be on Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday, hopefully. If I can get up, it'll definitely be Wednesday and Friday. We've got Big Show next Thursday night, and then we've got Photo on 2 o'clock and Mac as normal at 3:30 next Friday as well. Hope you have a great week and enjoy your tech, and we're going to have a live unboxing. Now, guys, should we make a pact that we keep our iPads sealed up in the boxes, and if they arrive before the show or during the show, we'll open them all together. How's that sound?
We want to be together.
Nah, come on. We do a four-way unboxing or a five-way unboxing. That'd be super cool, wouldn't it?
I don't know if mine will be... Because it'll be 9:30 in Chicago.
No, you might not have it. But UPS deliver about... Well, if UPS deliver at all, because I've got my own issues with them. But UPS deliver about 1 to 3 o'clock here, so I should have it in time for the show.
Well, my car is in for service next week, so I'm going to be here waiting, expecting.
Right. Mm. That's it, then. Next week, live unboxing all the iPad all together. Have a good week.